And they look like able-bodied men. That's good. And you build a church, you need men. Amen? It's very important. The devil tries to minimize men and cast them out, but the devil knows how important the man is, right? And the first man, he wanted to get him to fall. He came through a woman to get him to fall. But the devil knows that men are important. And it's important to have these men and pray for our men and thank God for them. And Brother Bob paid Elgin a compliment. Brother Elgin, he called you an able-bodied man. And he said, Brother Elgin's worth four of any others. So that's pretty good. That's pretty good. I've seen him work, and he is definitely able-bodied. And Brother Bob knows about work, let me tell you. And he learned it from the apple didn't fall far from the tree. His dad, what a worker that guy is. Amazing. They just bought a new excavator, $70,000 excavator. And Brother Bobby Jr., dad told me, senior told me, he litigated the price down to 39 grand. So he's very, very blessed to have Bobby Jr. working with him as well. And we're blessed to have the Bajeskis in the church. Thank God for all of that, and praise God. This morning, I'm thinking of our former pastor, and I remember him saying to me years ago that Bloom, he said, he called me Bloom or Boomaloom, Boom. Boom or boom-a-loom. Boom, he'd say. I believe God is going to bless in three areas. And that was at that time, you know. He said, I believe he's going to bless in our college, because we were in a Bible college at the time. And God's going to bless. And then he said, I believe God's going to bless America. And then he's going to bless Scranton. Well, he told me later on, you know what? He said God did bless in the Bible college, and God blessed in America, and God blessed in Scranton. He said one of our friends that was in this church, he was a deacon in the church, became a great preacher and has preached all over Europe, did a lot of youth preaching. His name is Ken Rudolph, and Ken worked in the college and had a ministry there. Charlie Ware, he goes all over America and preach. He's still preaching all over. And we support him. And then I went to Scranton. And I buried myself in Scranton. And I've been here. And so those three areas God has blessed. But I'm thinking of Ken Rudolph this morning. I haven't seen Ken in years. But I'm thinking of Ken Rudolph. I remember him saying that when he first came to the Bible college, he worked with a guy who was a leader of a big construction crew. He was a married student, and then God called him to preach, and he took that construction ability and brought it to Bible college, and he was studying for the pastoral ministry or for a missionary, and yet he had this ability, and so he was drafted by the college to be over all the construction, all the building and grounds of the college. And students worked for him, students work for him in the Bible college. And their basic burden was to get their paycheck on Friday and to go as college students do and just enjoy that money that they earn, but get away from the work. But my friend Ken Rudolph said that he felt like he wanted to get to know the construction boss. He wanted to get close to him and see what his view was of work. And as he got to know the boss's name was Ed Doty. As he got to know Ed Doty, Ed shared with him his vision for the college and for the work that they were doing and the excellence of the work. And Ken used to be like the other college students. He just wanted to get his paycheck and go enjoy it and get away from the job. But as he got close to Ed Doty, the construction leader, guess what? He began to get the same desires that Ed had for the work that they were doing. And it was more to him than just a job. He shared the heart, the vision of Ed Doty. And he said, you know what, Bloom, I got the burden of the boss. And when I got the burden of the boss, it made the work all different. I really got into it and I got the vision of the boss and what the boss wanted to be done. And that is another way of saying my message. My message is taken from the text in Matthew 11, 29. Jesus is the boss. Amen. He's the highest boss. And the Bible says, Jesus said, listen to this, take my yoke upon you. That means take the yoke that an oxen uses and has another ox working with that ox. They become two oxen yoked together for work. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And what does that mean? That means you learn about Jesus when you take His workload on you, when you work with Him, when you get busy in what job He's doing, the construction work He's doing. You know, the theme of our church is building lives on solid foundation. You know what the yoke of Christ is. It's to reach people with the good news of His death, burial, resurrection so they can be saved, so they can be walking with God and working to get others saved, and then they get baptized and they sanctify in the church. And that's the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, you take that on, that yoke on me, and He said, you'll find out, you'll get to know me. And that's what happened with Ken Rudolph. He got to know Ed Doty. He got the burden of the boss. And that's the name of my message to you this morning is, get the burden of the boss this morning. Amen. I'm thinking of a guy in our church. He's called me up for counsel. And we've talked. And at times he's keyed in to the burden of the little boss, because the church has a man of God to oversee the work of the Lord. And I'm that man. And he tries to tie in with me. And I've talked to him about soul winning and being involved in a soul winning training ministry. And he's stepped out in that area. I've talked to him about different areas that are important in the work of the Lord. And he called me just the other day, Tavon. He called me. And he, the other day, when he called me, he wanted some counsel about how to help somebody else that he cared for in the church. And when he counseled me, I gave him the burden of the little boss, me. And I gave him some burden of how you can better help, and this is what you do to help. And by tying in with the boss, the man of God, he was able to do some good things and some blessed things. And you know what? That is so important. And so I want to preach to you three things this morning that you need in your life to get the burden of the boss. And I want to say, number one, get the burden of the boss by getting with a boss, a little boss who has the burden of the big boss. Here's what the verse says in Proverbs 29, 18. Listen to this. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Right. Now, some people have a vision. It's called the hellavision, right? Sometimes the television becomes a hellavision. Right. And that's all they have a vision for. No, we need the vision of the Word of God. You can have a microscope and a telescope, and you can see things far away with a telescope and things little with a microscope, but you need the Bible scope to see things that are invisible to a lot of people. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And there are churches and pastors, listen to me, they don't have the vision of the Lord Jesus to get people saved, to get them to put on the uniform of a believer, and to get them to mature as they go out and take the yoke of the Lord and reach others, and they're matured as they go. They don't have that burden. I remember years ago, a pastor of a church, the pastor had good doctrine. The pastor was a great teacher. And I remember that pastor talking to me about Scranton and the the city of Scranton. And let me tell you something this morning. He had no vision for Scranton. In fact, he told me, you know, the people of Scranton, they are hardened. They're not going to get saved. They're into dead religion. They're into Catholicism. You can't reach them. You can't. And he thought I was being a little bit too evangelistic. I was being a little bit too optimistic about reaching the people of Scranton. Well, I want to say to you that he was a little boss, right? Under the big boss, but he didn't have the vision of the big boss. And I determined I'm not going to hang around a guy like that. I determined I'm not going to be taught by a guy like that. I determined, you know, I'm not going to be a pastor like that. And maybe he didn't know what I was thinking when he was talking, but that's what I was thinking. And by the grace of God, I've sought to have a vision for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the people of Scranton. And I think about, I preached a message on this, and I've been thinking about it. One of the reasons why I believe that we don't see people get saved, that we don't see people get baptized, is because what Jesus said when he went to Nazareth, the Bible says about Jesus, he could not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. It's unbelief that keeps us away. I think of a young preacher that went to Charles Spurgeon, and he said, "Mr. Spurgeon, you have people saved all the time in your church. You have people baptized all the time in your church." He said, "I don't see that in my church. I don't see them, and I want to know what the secret is. I want to have more people saved and baptized." And Spurgeon looked at him. He said, "What, do you expect people to get saved and baptized every time you have service?" He said, "No." He said, "Well, that's your problem. That's your problem." You see, it's because of unbelief that we lack the power of God. I'll be honest. I had a couple people one time, and I had an opportunity to witness, and doubt crept up on me. It's not going to do any good, and I didn't witness to them. If you think it's not going to do any good, you're not going to witness to them. I was out the other day and knocking on doors, and I'd thrown my back out. I was in pain, but I was knocking on doors. I was visiting for 4 or 5 hours, and I saw this guy standing up in Dixon City in front of, I think it was a Turkey Hill, and I went up to him, found out his name. His name was Alex. Told Alex he had a nice suit on today. I didn't know he was singing. Amen. But it's good, Alex. I like that. But this guy was another Alex, and I got to ask him two spiritual questions, and he was ready to get saved, and he prayed to receive Christ. And I'm just saying that I don't want to be a powerless preacher. I want to see people get saved. I want to see people get baptized once they get saved. And Dr. Jack Hiles was a powerless preacher. He didn't see anybody for a whole year come down the aisle. Saw nobody get saved and baptized. And by the way, Mark 16 says when they get saved, Jesus expects they're going to get baptized. If a person's not willing to get baptized, but yet they say they've been saved, I wonder about their salvation. Because the Bible expects when a person gets saved, that person be willing to profess their faith in Jesus Christ. I know we're not saved by baptism. We're saved by faith in Christ alone. I know that. We emphasize, but sometimes we emphasize that so much that we let people rest in their laurels, and Jesus expects people to get baptized. And so are you getting people saved and baptized? And Brother Hiles wasn't, and he went into the pine thickets in the countryside of East Texas, and he prayed and he fasted and he asked God for power. And when he came back, he had a service in his church where people were getting saved and baptized, and the power of God was manifested. And I determined I do not want to be a powerless preacher. I want to have the power of God. And I told the men, I said, my vision for this year, I think we had like 63 baptisms last year. I said, I want to have 100 baptisms. And you know what? Where there is no what? Vision, the people perish. That means they die and go to hell.
Right.
Where a man of God, a little boss, is not leading other men of God and the church of God to do the Great Commission, you're going to see people die and go to hell. But where people do have a vision, and the Lord's vision, guess what? People are getting saved.
Amen.
I like what Tom said. He said, there's action at Scranton Revival Baptist Church. And Tom is a soul winner, and he decided he'll join here.
Amen.
Because this is a place where there's people happening. People get saved. They get baptized just about every service. I like that, he said. And that's what I'm seeing as a man of God. That's what I'm seeking. And some of you, you may have dreams like sugar plums dancing in your head about what you're going to do out there in fundamentalism. Maybe you have goals and dreams of what you're going to do. But can I say something that you need to do is take those things and focus and get the burden of the boss right here. Do it here until it's so clear that it's manifest, that it can't be hidden, that God is blessing you. People want to get out there, get their name out there, get their work out there. But listen, it's not worth it unless God's doing something here. That's what you need. Little boys and their toys, but I'm talking about being a man. That's what I'm talking about. And I want to be a man, and I want to have men around me. I don't want to have little boys, although there are going to be some little boys. You can't avoid it. But I don't want to be one of those. I remember when I went to Grand Rapids, Michigan in the early 1970s, and I was told by a lot of people, you know, you're graduating Bible college, man. You got to get a pastorate. You got to leave Pastor Ware. You got to leave the church here. You got to make a name for yourself. You know, do something. And I went out to Grand Rapids. They had a big missions conference out there. And I thought, well, you know, I believe God's given me a pastoral gift. I believe I should plant churches in America. That's what I believe my calling is. So I went out there and met with a guy that was the head of Hiawatha Baptist Missions. I'd been ordained in this church to preach. And I went out there. And while I was going out there, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, impressed upon me, and I never forgot it, Revelation 3:2. And here's what it was. Here's what it said. Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect or full and complete before God. And that stopped me in my tracks. He was saying to me, you haven't finished your work in Scranton. You haven't done what you've done. And the thing is ready to die because you're going off somewhere else to build something great. And you need to build under the preacher, Pastor Ware. You need to get the burden of the little boss. And you need to get it and fulfill it. And little did I know it would be a lot of years later. This is almost my 45th year of pastoral ministry. Little did I know what God had for me. Let's try this one, Dr. Luke. Can you hear me all right back there? Amen. I know you can. And I decided, you know what? I'm going to stay put. I'm going to bury myself in Scranton. People don't need to know about me. Just the devil needs to know about me. And the Lord needs to know that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And I'm not home yet. I'll get my rewards when I'm going home. And I did get the burden of the big boss in my life when I did that. And so the Lord was going to the woman at the well, and he was talking to her, and he led her to himself. He was always soul winning. Have you noticed that? And he led her to himself. And he did it so wonderfully and beautifully. And he'll do it through you, by the way, if you're filled with the Spirit of the Lord. And he did it. And that woman got saved. And she was an immoral woman. We know that. And she went back to her town. And she told the men of her town she met somebody. And they got to meet him. He may be the Messiah. He is the Messiah. And they all went to see the Lord. Now, the disciples were off getting food. They were hungry. Amen? I mean, that's Baptist belief. Got to have our food. But the Lord said, I've got meat to eat that you guys know not of. And the disciples were talking to the Lord. They said, well, what are you talking about? We brought the food. We got the food. What food do you got? We're hungry. Got any good food? And he was talking about, he led that lady to the Lord. She went and got the other people, and they were walking, these men, and they had white robes, I believe. And you know, when grain grows, they get the white on top of the stalks, which means it's ready to cut down and harvest, which we had in Sunday school, the harvest, the first harvest. And so he said this to the disciples when they didn't know what food he was talking about. He said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life. You see, the Lord was saying that you get rewards when you get the burden of the boss. You get rewards. But some Christians, they just want to be like the BBC students, get their paycheck and go home, get their money now and go home. They don't have the burden of the Lord Jesus, but the Lord will give you rewards, and he promises that you will gather fruit unto eternal life. You can't take anything out of this world, but you can take out of this world people that have been saved and built on solid foundations. Ralph Tolley is out of here, but thank God I know where he is. Denny Owen is out of here, but thank God I know where he is. There are others that are out of here, like Eric Slobodnik, but I know where they are. That's the burden of the boss. For the joy that was set before him, he counted people, he called them gold and silver and precious stones that we build upon the foundation of his great work of giving his blood and his life so that you could be saved. And if you're here today, his burden is that you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and you get saved. And I have a burden. And I'll just say one more thing. Years ago, I decided I had to make a decision. Am I going to have a religious lectureship church where people just gather around the Word and they eat from the Word that I teach them and they meet and they retreat and I don't do anything else? Or am I going to have a soul-winning generalship where I train people to win people to Christ, to bring them down the aisle, to get them baptized? And I decided I want the second, the soul-winning generalship. Amen. I got the burden of the boss. Have you? Have you? Get the burden of the boss. Number one, get that burden of the boss by getting with a boss who has the burden of the big boss. Number two, by getting with those who are clicking around the man of God to fulfill the Great Commission. I had a guy one time, he told me, he said, whenever you say that, I hate that phrase. Hey, he was honest enough to say he hated the phrase. But listen to me, that is a key to my life when I was with the pastor. I got around the man of God who was doing the Great Commission. And I'm saying you need to get around those who are clicking around the man of God to fulfill the Great Commission. Here's my verse for that. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Here's the second verse. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. How about the apostles? They hung around the Lord, and Judas wasn't saved, but the 11 apostles that hung around the Lord for those 3.5 years, and then Paul later, hey, what happened to them? They got the burden of the boss. And everybody that clicked around them got the burden of the boss. I'm thinking about Paul, and who was a later apostle, and the people that clicked around him in the church at Ephesus. It said they called them Christ ones or Christians because they were like Jesus Christ. They had the burden of the boss. And Elisha had the same spirit of Elijah because he hung around him and he got the burden of the boss. When I hung around Dr. Ware, I got his burden and it prepared me for the ministry. When I hung around around Jack Hiles and I got close to him, I got his burden for the Great Commission, and it affected my life, and I can't put it down. I'm saying you need to click around those who click around the man of God to fulfill the Great Commission. By the way, I thank God that I have a number of men and women that have clicked around me as the man of God to fulfill the Great Commission. And so now I can point people in our church to other men and women and say, hang around them, because they click around the man of God to get the burden of the boss. That's what God wants. He wants you to get around those that are clicking around the man of God to fulfill the Great Commission. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now, I'm not saying never have any relationship to somebody that's not geared in on the Great Commission, but I am saying this: don't get sidetracked by giving your priority time and energy to those that refuse to click around the man of God here to fulfill the Great Commission. Let me say that one more time. Don't get sidetracked by giving your priority, time, and energy to those that refuse to click around the man of God here to fulfill the Great Commission. You will rob yourself of riches. I'm talking about people. And you will rob yourself of great reward from the Lord Jesus Christ. Get the burden of the boss by getting with a boss, a little boss who has the burden of the big boss. Number one, where there is no vision, the people perish. Number two, by getting with those who are clicking around the man of God to fulfill the Great Commission. You hang around those kind of people and you will be blessed. The Bible says it, that he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And number three and last, by getting with the one who gives you gasoline in your tank. By the way, I'm not like the globalists who want to get rid of gasoline. I believe gasoline is a good fuel. And I go to the gas station all the time. How many of you have ever gone to the gas station? Amen. And we need gasoline to keep going. My microphone here needs a battery to keep going. The green light's on. It's on. It's got a good battery. We need that fresh. And so if we're going to keep going and get the burden of the boss, we got to get with the one who gives you gasoline in your tank. And that's Acts 13:2. Here's what it says: and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. Now notice, they first ministered to the Lord. That meant they got before the Lord. They spent time looking to God in fasting and fasting from food so they could really pray and seek the Lord in His face. And they ministered to Him. And then what happened? Then the Holy Ghost spoke to their heart and said, separate me. I'm so glad I spend time with God. And as I spend time with God, He speaks to my heart through the Word of God. You know, I had prayed. I had back pain years ago in my lower back. I was in my 30s. I weighed about 220 pounds. That was part of my problem. Young man, I weighed too much for my 5'10 frame. I stepped off a curb. My back went, and I looked in the mirror. I looked like a pretzel. I was going sideways. What's going on here? And we went on a trip to Disney World another time. We were at Disney, going down to Disney World, and I had my oldest son. He was just a little kid then. Got out of the car after driving hours and had him on me, and I was slinging him like this, you know, going, and my back went. I said, uh-oh, did it again. I used to take my belly and bounce my youngest son off the refrigerator. I could just bounce, and I was strong. I'd play football. I'd knock people down. It was great. Wasn't great on the body, though. It made me throw my weight around. But anyway, my back was out. I got to Disney World, and when I got there,
My sister showed us around Disney World. We always got to go free through everything in Disney World because there was somebody that was in Bible college with me that worked there, and he gave us free for our passes for our whole family. That's how God provided, you know, back in the day. That's back when there were princes, you know. Anyway, anyway, we were doing that, and my sister pushed me in a wheelchair through Disney World. I said, Lord, I can't minister like this. I need mercy. Help me. Give me something to help me. And I was going north, and I got in Virginia, and Ken Rudolph was pastoring in Virginia, Charity Baptist Church, McLean, Virginia. And Ken told me, he said, you know, we stayed there. He said, I got an exercise. It's beautiful. I can correct your lower lumbar and get it back in. He showed me the exercise. I did it in his living room. Right back in. I stood up, no wheelchair. For all these years, from the time in my 30s till right now, when I'm a little older than 30, don't laugh, I've been doing that exercise, and it's wonderful. But the other day, I threw my back out, upper back. I'd never done that before. Wow, was that pain bad. Like I said, I was visiting, and just the pain was so bad, I had to push through the pain. It was like, wow. I said, Lord, it would sure be nice if I could go up and down those steps and not have that. I remember Denny Owen used to have all that pain, and he was so good about it. And I said, Lord, I just, you know, I step like, like that. I said, now what would Denny do? That hurts. And I was praying. I said, Lord, wouldn't it be nice if you could give me an exercise for the upper back? And nothing happened. And then Brother Kyle came over. And he had one of those things. You get them at Five Below, Kyle? Is that where you get those things? He had one of those things, the roller things you get at Five Below. And he said, he showed me how to do it. He showed me how to use it. I put my back on that. I put it there. It's already 85% better. I can function. And it was like in the morning after I used that and I felt better, it was like the Spirit of God was saying, remember you prayed that prayer for that exercise? And Kyle came over with that. I'm saying you worship God and then you walk with God. And he will speak to you. And he spoke to that group of pastors there. And he said, now separate me for the work that I've called them to. Saul at the time and Barnabas. They had been worshiping the Lord. And then the Lord showed them the work he wants them to do. I've had people tell me, Pastor, when you're preaching, it's like God is speaking to me for an individual need. It's like my back is out. It gets snapped back in. How do you do that? I say, I have a lot of knowledge of the Bible. That's not the be-all, end-all. I say, I pray for wisdom of what part of the Bible that the people need in this church right here and right now. And I believe we need the burden of the boss. I believe we need to get back to our first love. I believe we need to get back to the first works that the early church had, where they would pray and they would go with Jesus and point others to Christ and to salvation, and people would get saved and baptized, and that's what God wants. He wants us to get the burden of the boss by getting with the one, Jesus, who gives you gasoline in your tank. I think of Moses, when Moses was seeing the burden of the boss was withdrawing. In fact, the presence of the Lord was withdrawing, and Moses couldn't take it. He said, if your presence doesn't go up with us until we get to the promised land, he said, then I don't want to go. But you know, there are a lot of preachers, they don't care whether they have the presence of the Lord. Jack Hiles did. He said, I don't want to be a powerless preacher. And he began to read Gypsy Smith. And he began to read about Savonarola. And he began to read about the great men of the past, R.A. Torrey, D.L. Moody. And he said, I want the God of Moody. I want the God of Finney. I want that God to show up.
And he spent time with God, hours.
Some people need to remember that the apostle said, we need tables served, we need needs met, but we're men of God. We need to meet with God, and we need to pray and fast and minister the word of God, and we need men that can help. So we can do that. Boy, we need to get back there. We need to get the power of God and have the power of God. And Moses, he set up a tabernacle outside of the regular meetings of the people, outside of the regular church service. He set up a tabernacle, and he got there, and he met with God there. And when he met with God there, God did something. Amen, Tavon? He did something. By the way, you want to go to sleep, go home in bed. You're not going to sleep in church, son. I don't believe in that. You're looking at a man here. I don't believe in that. You go on Bob Bajeski's construction site, you're not going to be sleeping, I'll tell you. Wake up. And I'm just saying that Moses, man, he met, and what happened? The pillar of pillar of cloud came down, and God showed up. It was so much so that the young man Joshua, he saw the presence of God, and Joshua said, wow, I'm going to hang around this presence of God that Moses prayed down. You know what? We've had a Revival Seekers prayer meeting here for 52 years. Hey, you got a nice smile now. You're awake. I like you, buddy. For about 52 years, and you know, God still shows up in our Revival Seekers prayer meetings. And here's a young man, and he invites people to that Revival Seekers prayer meeting. He invites his son to that prayer meeting. He's a smart man right there. He invites his son because he knows God shows up there, and he knows real men of God are there. And he invites his spiritual children there. And that's wise. That's what I'm talking about. Hey, some of you need to jump in. The water's fine. You need to jump in and say, Jesus, I need to get saved. And get saved. And the Lord will take you. He'll take you in. He'll save you. He'll wash your sins away. I'm talking about Jesus. He's alive. We're not celebrating a funeral here. We're celebrating a resurrection. Amen. And once you get saved, you need to jump in the water and get baptized. Amen. The water's fine. Let me check that. I don't want to lie. No, it's good. And once you do that, you need to get into a church membership. You say, well, I don't know how long I'm going to be here. I don't know how long I'm going to be here either, but while I'm here, I'm going to be here. Get in. Get in or get out. Get out or get on. That's what God wants. I'm telling you the word of God. And that's how you're going to grow. And that's how you're going to be blessed in your life. And then get with the Lord and get gasoline in your tank, man. And get blessed there. And get the burden of the boss by getting with a little boss who has the burden of the big boss. You may have some doctrinal differences, but make sure. I didn't believe everything Brother Howes believed, but I said, he's got the burden of the big boss, man. I'm going to get that. I'm going to get that. And number two, by getting with those who are clicking around the man of God to fulfill the Great Commission. Don't get sidetracked by people that'll draw you aside. They'll start their own works. They got their own thing. Well, that's fine. I said, go ahead. And I may see them here and there, but I'm busy. Amen. I'm busy. I don't have time. I don't have time to spend all this trash time. And number three, by getting with the one who gives you fresh oil. Fresh oil. He anoints you with fresh oil. Get with him. Amen and amen. All right, let's bow for prayer together. And I'm just gonna say